They say one way we pick a presidential candidate is to imagine having a beer with them. But which candidate would you go to a party with? And when you got there, what kind of music would they play?
If you change your mind, take a chance. I'm the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me.
That, believe it or not, is campaign music. Apparently, John McCain is a huge fan of ABBA, and Take a Chance on Me was his personal pick to replace Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode on the campaign trail. I always thought the moment ABBA came on was the time to leave the party, but McCain's doing pretty well in the primaries, so what do I know? Here's another unusual choice. In the final weeks of his campaign, Rudy Giuliani would stride on stage to the theme from a 1993 movie called Rudy. It's the tale of a pint-sized kid who beats the odds and makes it onto the Notre Dame football team. Great concept, if you happen to know the film. If you didn't, it's not likely this solemn, instrumental music was going to get your political juices flowing. It didn't do much for me.
One could end up going to prison. One just might be president.
Not really subtle, but subtlety is not the point. Campaign music has to achieve a tough balance, just like the campaign itself. Keep your supporters happy, reach out to the undecided, and try not to alienate anybody. That's how even a self-proclaimed candidate of change, like Barack Obama, ends up with this fairly cheesy country number by Brooks and Dunn. Most of the Obama playlist is classic soul music of the upbeat and uplifting type. It's great stuff. Aretha Franklin, Earth, Wind & Fire, and Stevie Wonder.
Ooh, baby, yeah,
this is a great song to close a rally with. The refrain comes very fast, so you keep the energy high, especially after one of those soaring Obama speeches. Of course, the first major song of election 2008 turned out to be kind of a disaster. When the Hillary Clinton campaign asked supporters to help them pick an official anthem, pundits thought it was a great way to engage voters. How they ended up with Celine Dion is still a mystery. In fact, Celine Dion herself is a mystery to me. Ms. Dion has long vanished from the playlist. The campaign has gone eclectic instead. Some of the artists in heavy rotation include Sheryl Crow, Big Head Todd and the Monsters, and K.T. Tunstall. Given the campaign context, it's hard not to see this as a wishful description of the candidate herself. Experience and competence are great traits in a president, but radiating a silver pool of light is a lot cooler. Who said we can't have it all? Now, maybe none of these tunes work for you, and you're still shopping for a candidate. How about Mitt Romney?
Hey, a little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation is satisfaction in me.
His playlist changes too, but here's a solid regular. Enough talk. Romney's about business and about Elvis. Maybe it's something about the hair. And we'll assume that all that satisfy me stuff is about satisfying the voters' expectations, nothing else. In general, with campaign music, you don't really want to dig too deep into the lyrics, let alone the context that the music was made in. Just because most campaign songs are well-worn classics doesn't mean they were made in a vacuum. Like this New York club anthem from the 1970s. Ain't No Stopping Us Now, another Romney campaign pick. Nothing says chief executive like the music drag queens used to sashay to back at the Paradise Garage. Okay, so maybe campaign music isn't as crucial as how each candidate plans to deal with the mess in Iraq or fend off the subprime mortgage crisis. Still, a good song, or for that matter a bad one, adds an emotional dimension to the race that no policy paper can ever provide. For WNYC, I'm Siddhartha Mitter.